What's up? This is Marga Gomez, Her Royal Dykeness. And when I'm not busy pleasuring women, I'm listening to my two favorite boys, Fausto and Mark, on Feast of Fun!
This August, comedian Marga Gomez is sharpening her cougar claws, packing up her insect repellent, and heading off to the remote woods of the Wolverine State for the legendary Michigan Women's Music Festival. You might think that this women-only event is just a genteel celebration of folk music, but for many, it's a wild adventure filled with hot sounds and sexy good times.
Today, Margaret Gomez shares with us her experiences at the event over the years, including her fear of porta-potties and the time when bondage-loving lesbians drop pamphlets over the crowds from an airplane to gain acceptance at the event.
Join us as we talk with Marga about the legacy of her work as an innovator of the one-person show, and her role in the sci-fi thriller Sphere, where she and Queen Latifah got eaten by a giant squid and jellyfish. Oh, and Marga answers once and for all the truth on Queen Latifah!
Marga also takes us down the bumpy road of the gay rights movement, where diversity means we have to share spaces with skanky people, and the commodification of pride, or as Marga calls it, the rainbow road to hell.
Plus questions from you. Get ready. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by fabulous people like you. Go to feastoffun.com and get yourself a fabulous new t-shirt or make a donation. Okay? Gracias.
Hola.
Hi, Marga Gomez.
Hi, Fausto Fernos.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm not bad. Oh.
We're having a three-way with my husband, Mark Fillion.
Hi, Marga.
Hi, Mark.
¿Cómo estás?
I'm good. My first three-way with guys.
I hope it's okay.
I'll try to stay awake. Usually, the two times I've had three-ways, I pretended I was asleep.
Why?
I don't know. Because I got confused. I didn't think I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just kind of curled up in a ball. Oh, she's sleeping. Okay, let's go.
Well, you're going to be having a group gangbang
at
the Michigan Women's Music Festival.
That's Polyamory Central.
Yeah.
How many people go to that? They mix it up like that. They all just sleep together because they don't have to buy the food afterwards because it's just all, you just line up. So, nobody's got to be the big daddy or big mama.
Oh, so you don't have to buy him dinner to get
You don't
got to
buy him shit.
Stop and shop.
Let me take you to breakfast. Let's get on that line. Yeah.
So, Marga, you're going to be performing August 5th at the Michigan Women's Music Festival. It's their 35th anniversary celebration.
Yes.
That's a huge thing.
35 years. Wow.
35 years of lesbian orgies.
Well, I know when my 35th birthday comes along. Just kidding. But, when it is a multiple of five, of course, it's always a good time to get together. I didn't want to do the 32nd anniversary or the 33rd. I wanted to wait for a multiple of five. Because then that's when they bring out the fireworks.
Are there going to be fireworks?
Yes. It's an exploding vulva over the night sky. Fantastic.
Because this festival does get pretty wild, and I think gay men just don't understand just how wild it can get. What are some of the things that happen at the festival?
Because
you're our insider spy.
A lady never tells. Look, I can't say it's that wild because now all the wild girls have children.
So it's like a daycare center for old rock stars.
Yeah, it got a little, they have all ages, but actually new rock stars are being, popped out the vagina. So there's a lot of children and there's all different kinds of camping. I think the first time I performed there was in 1990 or something, and it was more square. Now it's pretty edgy, and all the hipster girls going and all that, so it's come up with the times. And then, older women are camping. It's very it's pretty cool because all the generations kind of just mix together and eat tofu.
Is there any meat served there?
Any meat?
Yeah.
No, but there is this most awesome bar that it's like, it just looks like a rough country western bar. It's called the Crystal Tavern. And it's the last bit of patriarchy you see before you get on that bumpy road to women's land. And everybody, especially the people who work there, because there's women who have been there for months getting, you know, like they build up the whole place into like a city or town over the course of 2 months. And then they take it down and it's just like, you know, little lands, bunks and stuff. But then, you know, these 2 months before, like, all the women who bought tickets go, it's like this community of, like, a few hundred workers. And they know to go to the Crystal Tavern where you can get a nice burger and a beer and shoot some pool with dudes.
Because you're going to be eating fish tacos for the rest of the week.
Fish tacos quietly in my tent. It'll be my own fish taco if I can reach.
And clothing's optional, right?
Yes. Yes, I tried to make it mandatory, but no. Everybody's naked, but sometimes they have, you know, their bedazzled vaginas, whatever they call that.
Vajazzling, yeah.
Vajazzles. Yeah, so there's all kinds of little feathers popping out of every hole.
I ran into a mutual acquaintance, I won't say her name on the air, between you and I, at the gym, and she was saying that she had to work out for her Women's Music Festival because she was going to go naked. She's like, I'm going to rock my 40-plus-year-old body there. I was like, you do it.
Really? I gain weight and don't shave.
If you're going to be going to this, basically it's a lesbian Woodstock, and for women who are comfortable around other lesbians, right?
Yes.
So is it better to shave, or is it better to let your hairy side growl?
Well, there's different looks, but, there's showers, and we all take showers, like, together. Like, we don't soap each other up, please. If the straight guy's listening, don't get excited. No, but, I mean, we have, like, stalls, and it's shower time, and when everyone takes a shower, there's usually, you know, 10 people or more, some people you know you've never seen naked, and we're all showering, and you see all kinds of, hairstyles, all kinds of body hairstyles. but it is really a place where, if you don't feel like getting that bikini wax in August, you can go. This is a good time to skip your bikini wax. I feel that, I'm going to, be honest, I try to trim up. I don't go, I never get waxed because I know I'm Latina and we should be able to, like, endure, but I can't. I would kill a bitch. I really would.
So all body types are welcome, right? I heard that Susan Powter stands by the door and personally welcomes everybody with her camera. And she, once she gets
and
your
then she
scent,
said, stop this insanity.
Yeah, she's she's pretty, like, aggressive there. And if she likes you, there's no way of getting rid of her.
Really?
Yeah. I've talked to enough women that have gone to this. Farron, bitch. Brenda, who's the publicist for the event.
Oh, I know Brenda, yeah.
And all of them have said, once Susan Powter gets the scent of you, she's like a werewolf, a she-wolf. And she will, like, attack. No stories about that.
Is she blonde still?
Yes. She looks exactly like that.
I'm a blonde magnet. Yeah.
She looks exactly like she did in the 1990s. Exactly.
She was ahead of her time. Yeah. So, well.
But you don't know anything about her or, like, any of her hijinks because she's a legend.
I remember that she and Bitch's ex Animal had a long relationship for a while, and then I don't know what happened.
Oh.
And then I just know her from the infomercials. Yeah, I mean, it seems like people go, like, even if they're not performing or have some sort of gig, like, they just go. And I've gone, like, I've usually gone with a gig. I don't like to go anywhere unless I have some sort of performance, you know? I have that kind of ego. I just,
You need something to hold on to.
Yes. Otherwise, no one will pay attention to me. I'm not a big outdoors person. Mm. That's maybe why it. But I could see if I was happy in the outdoors, but I get so constipated.
You get constipated from the outdoors?
Yeah.
Because you have to use an outhouse?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the fresh air. I just can't. No, because you have to go to the porta toilet.
Oh.
Because you can't. You really can't do it in the woods. Only bears can. We're not bears. So, yeah, I just can't go. I get in that thing, and it's like I just want to get out. And I had counseling last time I was there to poop.
You had therapy?
Yeah.
Like a psychologist?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a little like health hut that's open like almost all day and all night. You get a bug bite, you know, you can get bug bites. But I had a special problem that, you know, Benadryl wouldn't help. And so they sent me to the poop counselor, you know, told me about different teas, and then kind of just how to relax my mind. She told me to, like, bring a book in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, these porta toilets.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Can you imagine, like, sitting down there and reading with the things all buzzing around you? Like,
I can't. Were you able to eventually poop?
Well, what happened was that I talked to a friend of mine after that. You know, nothing was going on. My friend Gretchen Phillips, she's a wonderful musician.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, here's what you got to do. You got to stick a finger up your ass. And I can do it for you. And then I just, like, almost just started pooping right there. I just ran away. And I was like, okay, never mind. I'm just going to take care of this. And yeah, I went.
Yeah, we know Gretchen.
Wow, Gretchen actually has that quality in her personality. Would you stand there? The crap.
She's got a finger for everybody.
Tell me about Long Island Iced Latina. That's the show you're doing, right?
Yeah, I'm doing when you go there, like, I've gone there and done stand-up comedy, and then they've got like a three. It's really, really sweet, this festival. They've got a main stage at night for like these huge bands, and I performed on that doing stand up. And then they've got the acoustic stage, and that's where I'm doing theater. And then they've got a day stage for new bands coming up, and some like hot bands. It's like if you're an established act, you could play on any stage. And then they've got all these, you know, smaller places to play too. So I'm playing in the acoustic stage, which is just like this bowl in the land, and you can perform without a microphone, although now they kind of put a body mic on you. And I'm doing this show that I've been working on for about 2 years. Now, I know you're Puerto Rican, right?
Yes.
Sasso? Yeah.
Yes.
My mom was Puerto Rican and my dad was Cuban, and I grew up in Washington Heights in Manhattan. I grew up, you know, totally Latino neighborhood. There was a few Irish people, you know. And I went to Catholic school with the Irish nuns, and the Irish nuns kind of beat the Spanish out of us. So by the time I was like in third grade, I knew how to jig, but I didn't know Spanish anymore. And
there's a saying, you go, ay bendito. You know what that means.
Oh, see, yeah, I know all the curses. You don't forget that. That's important. Well, my parents split up. My mom remarried, and I had to go with her to Long Island, to this, you know, very, very white neighborhood, Massapequa, Long Island. You know it?
No, I have not. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the geography.
Yeah, it's very, the Jerry Seinfeld was from there. Massapequa, it's a beautiful Indian name wasted on people from Massapequa. And it was all, you know, it was just like a fish out of water tale. And I was like the only brown girl in the high school. And so that's what this story is. It's about that. It's got like, you know, just some of this, you know, tragic story of like, you know, I was just a total nerd, a total geek, and a complete incurable virgin. You know, my mother was a belly dancer and a showgirl. She danced in Chicago. Both my parents were in showbiz, so they mm-hmm.
They're vaudevillians, right? Or
yeah,
well,
yeah, variety
old,
artists.
Are they?
We're no spring chickens here, okay. But they were variety artists. They didn't call it vaudeville. Mm-hmm. But you know, variety artists, and you would see the Mexican movies, and in between there would be a live show.
Where did your mom and dad perform exactly, and what time period are we talking here?
In the 50s and the 60s, they were like, you know, like they were like the Lucy and Ricky.
Yeah, because in Puerto Rico, what you would do is that, you know, for the kids, they would show three movies in a row, and like movie theaters were kind of like cafeterias, so they had a lot more food. And you could actually buy like rice and beans and plantains and eat them in the movie theater when you were a kid.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, no, we had ladies, they would just, you know, make the food and then put it in their pocketbooks. And then they would just sit through like, you know, like they would sit through two stage shows if they were going to see their, you know, their big idols. Like my dad, he presented shows with Celia Cruz and Tito Puente. I mean, he was really, really a big deal. But you know how this business is. He didn't strategize correctly. So that, you know, by the end he was, you know, just kind of a footnote. But I've done work to kind of immortalize them both. And this show is when my mother was, you know, my parents were split up. I was a teenager. My mom was this really bored housewife because she married this dude who wouldn't let her dance anymore. And so then suddenly she was trying to fit in with all these bitches in Long Island, you know, these housewives who just weren't having her because my mother was really hot. And all the husbands were like, you
hot
know,
for her, of course.
They were totally hot for her. So
and
then my
probably
mother,
the housewives, too.
Well, I was hot for the housewives. Oh, my God. Mrs. Farisi. Oh, this is too much. She was like a young Anne Bancroft. And, oh, I remember one time she was telling me, because I was at the age where I thought that I should walk around barefoot to be cool. And she told me, oh, no, you've got to keep your feet soft for your husband. Like, oh, I want to lick your feet right now. I want to lick those feet. Gorgeous, yeah.
What would your husband have done with your feet?
She probably walked on his balls. Isn't that? Mrs. Luisi could walk on my eyeballs. Really, she was so amazing.
Margo, let's talk about the late 80s. You and Whoopi Goldberg, Karen Finley, Sandra Bernhardt, you guys were like innovative, pioneering women that, and you know, you're part of a scene that took established theater and comedy and turned it into something that at that time was called the one-woman show or one-person show.
Yeah, there's no really good name for it. It never really
one-person
like
show is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You but know? Still, it's not a sexy name, yeah. Yeah.
The explosion of Marga Gomez.
Egomania, yeah.
I was going to say in porn they sell it as like a solo act.
Yes, yeah.
So what was it like 20 years ago? Because this is the age before YouTube. This is before you had... This is the place and spaces that you could express yourself and reach an audience about your own queer experience. I actually performed at Josie's Juice Bar in San Francisco, where a lot of this stuff took place. And for me, it was one of the happiest shows I ever did.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd met you then. Yeah.
But what was the experience like for you guys? Because it felt at the time that this was the only type of space that you could express yourself.
Well, it was really good because there weren't a lot of people. I had been doing stand-up, but I really wanted to write about my parents because I was so proud of what they did. And, you know, being Latin in this culture, you know, you're not going to really, Hollywood's not really going to care. And I just thought, well... I had already a friend named Josh Kornbluth who was doing it, and Whoopi was also. I don't think Whoopi did. Whoopi was before Josie's, but before Josie's, there was a place called Valencia Rose, and that's where she started working out. I think it was Mom's. I think that's the one she brought to New York that Mike Nichols saw, and she was working it out at Valencia Rose, and that's where I met her.
And she was like, "Girl, we gotta collaborate together."
That's true. That's what she said. And me, stoner, go, oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, I'm going to call you. And I never did.
You could have been in Sister Act.
I could have been. They filmed Sister Act like five blocks away. I know I didn't. I know. But still, you know, she now and then we, you know, cross paths. And, you know, I mean, I don't think she should be making those diaper commercials. But, well, whatever. Or defending Mel Gibson, that's crazy.
What was up with that?
Well, Mel Gibson let's be clear here. We're actually going to talk to Bruce Valanche right after you, so he's like Whoopi's BFF, so he'll clarify that. But the quote was that Mel Gibson hangs out in my house, plays with my kids. He doesn't strike me as a racist person. She defended him as a person, but not what he did, and said she probably alluding that he's an alcoholic and he has terrible drinking problems.
Well, I think what should happen then for Mel is he should be in house arrest at Whoopi's house, because apparently at Whoopi's house, he's a good guy. So I think this would solve everything. He just gets locked, you know, ankle bracelet, and he has to stay at Whoopi's house.
I'm just worried about if his ex-wife is really saying what she is saying. I mean, that's just really... What is up with these Hollywood movie stars who are, like, wanting to kill their wives, you know, or torture them?
Wait, it's just Mel Gibson and
no, and Charlie Sheen is like he's
that one.
And, well, you know, all of them now.
But I mean, look at Mel Gibson. Is it just the money? Because he made that movie, The Passion of the Christ. Do you know how much money that movie made? Like, he's worth like $1 billion now. He's a billionaire.
I mean, I think this is a strict thing. I don't want to say, because I know there's trouble in gay relationships too. But I mean, this is a man woman thing, and I think it's just maybe that Hollywood was able to protect these, you know, these guys, and they can't anymore.
Oh, because we have a social media and everybody reports on things, you know, unfiltered. And so if you were beating up your girlfriend, you know, probably.
Well, even if she didn't ask me to.
But, you know, if there was like a cheese man, I mean, is there any cheese man that happens in the Latina performance art circuit?
Well, have you watched the real L Word?
No, we haven't seen. Haven't.
Yeah,
are you watching it?
To be a little. Yes, I have to watch it. It's my job.
What do you honestly think about it?
It's incredibly depressing. I mean, it really makes me miss the artistry of the original L Word. I had no idea how good we had it before the real L Word came along.
What is it that's so bad about it, though? Because this is a reality TV show version, sort of like The Hills, but with lipstick lesbians.
Well, they picked the most, like, annoying lesbians on the planet, so it's just, like, it's embarrassing, you know?
And why do you think they picked annoying? Like, let's quantify what annoying is. Smug,
vacant,
stupid.
Vacant, aggro.
What's aggro mean?
Mean, aggressive, rude, alcoholic, shallow.
So Snookies, but lesbian forms.
There's only kind of, like, one. There's only one couple there that's cool, and obviously it's like the comedian and the girlfriend. Like, they just seem really nice. It's not a very well done reality show. Like The Hills, it was sort of a clique. You know, it was sort of a group of people who knew each other.
Uh-huh.
The real L Word is just these, I think, four or five people/couples who don't really know each other. You know how small the lesbian community in LA is, you know, and they're all in the, of course they know each other. Cause,
oh, I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they know cameras are following them, mm-hmm. But then suddenly they meet each other randomly at the Abbey. It's like, oh, hi, what's your name? Oh, I'm Mikey, the other person the cameras are following. See, there's my cameras, your cameras. And then they act like they're hitting on each other. It's kind of fakey, and again, it's just the people, the secondary characters in that show aren't bad, like the people they actually know, because
mm-hmm.
as you go further and further, they get fatter, which is nice, and you know, outside of the nucleus of the stars of the show, those people are super interesting. Like, you should just scoop them up, get rid of the leads, and then let's follow a bunch of them all together, but...
Well, let's talk about what we call the snookification of pride. You call the rainbow road to hell, which is how the gay rights movement and liberation has grown to afford us to be douchebags, to be snookies, if you say.
Yeah,
I think this is a good thing, actually. You know, I actually welcome the douchebags and the stupid people, because I know that my community has changed for the better, ironically, because then there's room for everybody.
Well, you know what I like about it, actually, is that I like the ally part. I like that it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, with so many more people, so many people are inundated. Like, I was watching Last Comic Standing, and I forget the name of this woman, but she had, like, her name was almost like Santa Fernos. It was almost like she had a 2F. And she was like, you know, she was definitely a big, you know, a big dyke. You know, she was wearing a vest, and she came out. She was all like, you know, she had swagger. And she came out, like, in the third joke. And this very, very mainstream, an audience that would scare me to perform in, was just loving her. I mean, she didn't make the next round. But it wasn't, like, because she was gay, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost like a cool thing that she was so, like, blatant about it. And that's kind of what I like about that, you know, it's we're bigger, we have more visibility. Because we have this visibility, because we're kind of corporate endorsed, because, you know, we have the various, you know, TV exposure that we have, it is affecting the younger generations. And I know that there's youth at risk, and that we're all at risk, and, you know, I could get the shit beat out of me walking down San Francisco, who knows? But, you know, you can really see it happening where it's not going to be a big issue anymore, at least, like, as an artist, to be gay. What I find now is that, you know, through Pride, it's like, okay, wow, almost at the point where, you know, it's more than pride, it's almost being cocky, almost at the point where, you know, now I'm just me. Now I'm just me, and now I just kind of want to find the freaks, whether they're gay or straight, who are going to be my audience, because the things I'm talking about or I want to talk about may not have very much to do, you know, with gay issues, like, directly. And sometimes at Gay Pride, it's sort of, you got to hit those notes all the time. I've been doing this for so long that I just kind of want to just throw it all away and start over and get crazier.
Have you considered reinventing yourself on YouTube and just start, like, there's some video bloggers out there that don't really deserve the careers they have, and they need to get their careers stolen by people like you.
Well, I don't know. I've seen the viral videos.
No, I'm talking about video bloggers, people who sit down in front of their computers and talk at the camera. And it's like they're doing a little bit of stand-up and stuff, but they're almost like, I look at myself, I think about it, and I'm like, why does this person have as many people watching their videos? They're not that intelligent. They're not that funny. They're not doing much of anything. And part of me is just like going, well, what else is there to watch?
A million things, but they usually hit on it's just like the same shit they're talking about. Like, they talk about, they're all going to talk about Lindsay, you know. It's like, and then it's in the taglines and it's buzzwords, and everybody will just click. I mean, people are just clicking constantly. I don't even know if they hear these people out.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I love as a blogger? He's not a video blogger, but Blabeando. On Twitter.
Yes, I love Blabeando.
Oh, he's so amazing.
But do you think this is kind of a problem, the rainbow road to hell? Because you were saying in your interview with Mark Maron that the day that LA Pride picked Paris Hilton to be their grand marshal was the day that everything ended, the day the music died.
That's the day I decided I wasn't going to have children, to live in a world like this. And now she's been caught with marijuana. I told you.
But here we had, like, Shelley Wright, and, you know, congratulations to her. But why aren't we bringing you to be the grand marshal? It's to me, you know, as a blogger and somebody who's been involved in the gay rights movement and in comedy and in theater for so long as you have, I get frustrated when these Johnny-come-latelys show up with a big paycheck. And let's be real honest. Most likely, Shelley Wright paid to be the grand marshal of the gay rights parade in Chicago.
Wait, who's Shelley Wright?
Exactly.
She's the lesbian country singer that just came out in March and had her book.
Oh my God, I was so mad. It was like, she
who
was a
cares?
Nobody, and we all thought it was going to be Queen Latifah, and then this bitch shows up? Who fucking gives a shit? Oh
Thank
my
you.
God. First of all, there shouldn't be any country music in the gay movement. That's horrible. Every hot song they make into a line dance, and it kills me. And I'm not joining in any line dances. If you ever see me in a line dance, just shoot me. Oh, I hate that.
But, you know, the thing about it is like, people are saying that she didn't pay or stuff. It's like, there is no logical. Why would a sane group of people put Shelley Wright in the front of any parade?
Because they wanted to get a lesbian.
Oh, Margo Gomez, were you busy that day? Were you busy?
No, look.
You weren't busy, were you?
I had my L.A. time. I was, you know, I was in Sphere with Queen Latifah.
I love that movie. Okay, I want to ask
you
about Sphere.
I'm worried about you. There's something wrong with you. Oh, Mark.
Hold on a second. I want to ask you about Sphere because Michael Crichton wrote into the movie that you get killed by a giant squid and Queen Latifah gets killed by a jellyfish.
Right. First people killed. The lesbians. You always kill the lesbians of color first. Absolutely.
So you're outing Queen Latifah right now. You're telling the world she's a lesbian.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah. Just be, you know why? Because of Shelley Wright. I wouldn't have done it. Shelley Wright got me all worked up, and now I'm outing Queen Latifah.
Well, you worked with her in this movie.
Yeah, no, she didn't tell me she was a lesbian, and I didn't see her have sex with women. I'm just outing her based on just my intuition.
Your gaydar.
Yeah, intuition outing.
Because what I'd like to do is edit scenes from Sphere and Tootsie, so it's about a tranny from outer space that discovers a spaceship under the sea.
Okay, but I want to be in it, too.
Well, obviously.
And you'll die again, of course.
You'll still be dying.
Because strong Latino women always die fiercely.
I also serve muffins, and I'd like that in.
Hold on a second. How did you get involved in Sphere in the first place? Because usually there's like Rosario Dawson usually gets the role.
Because I was about to be like the, you know, Latina Whoopi Goldberg, the lesbian Jennifer Lopez. I was with CAA. When I did my first solo show, the show about my mother called Memory Tricks, I was scouted by a manager who had been Sandra Bernhardt's manager and Lily Tomlin's manager. And she signed me up in San Francisco and then convinced me it would all work out. And so I moved to L.A. and I bought all this furniture. I didn't even know how to drive. I thought, oh, it's going to work out because soon I will be driven by a chauffeur. No, I was taking that disgusting bus with all the poor people, to see a girlfriend who had a sports car because she said, I'm not going to drive you every time. It's like, okay, I'll take the bus, Missy. So I got to L.A., I did my show, I got this lesbian from CAA who convinced me to sign with them instead of the smaller agency that maybe could have gotten me somewhere. Mm. So CAA, first thing they did was they got me into the Batman movie with Val Kilmer. I had a little a line.
I remember you in that. You were a reporter. You played yourself. I think they even referred to you in the film credits as Marga.
Well, you know, one of the times you see me, I didn't even know they were rolling. I was just spacing out. And, like, that's when the bad guy, I guess it's the Riddler, it was like, or the Tommy Lee Jones, or mm-hmm. they were about to break into the party. And I was just staring off. I don't even know how they put that in there.
I think you actually had a line, though, in the movie. As I recall, because I was in the movie theater and I knew who you were, and I was like, oh, they're starting to get performance artists in these films now. Because that was around the time that Karen Finley was in Philadelphia.
That would make more sense. But in the scene that I was in, it was all these hot girls in low-cut blouses, and then I was the only one in a turtleneck dress. It was so amazing. It was like, yeah, here you are, Leslie. Cover up. We know how you feel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, yeah. So I got that, and that was cool meeting Joel Schumacher. I remember he was going to shake hands with me, and I said, you know, I've got a cold. And he goes, oh, thank you. And then we didn't shake hands. Because, you know.
He doesn't want to touch people.
Germs are in the hands. Germs are in the hands, you know. I could have kissed him on the mouth.
But, I mean, how long was the taping of this movie? And you had to go under the sea to do it?
The other one, Barry Levinson, Sphere. That was about a month or so. And, you know, I thought, I thought that was it. You know, I thought, this is it. Now I'm going to be a movie star. And then it turned out to be just a stinker, just a big, big flop. But at the premiere, which was not at the good Chinese theater. It was at like Westwood, like by UCLA.
Uh-huh.
There was an after party, and you know, everybody kind of had that pallor of doom over them. But I remember that Anne. I knew Ellen from years ago when she was starting out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, hey, what's up? Of course, she was hanging out with Queen Latifah, right?
Let's mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she was going out with Anne Hage before Anne Hage went crazy and started stealing chanclas. So Anne Hage came up to me and Ellen, and they went, whoa, that movie. And I'm going, yeah, now we're going to, like, have some good comedy, you know. Mm-hmm. We're going to rip that movie apart, right? And I go, yeah, right? She goes, it blew my mind. And Ann H. was like, it's so deep.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, Ann H. was in a spaceship once herself.
Celeste, what was her other name? She had some alien that possessed her body.
Ann H. believes that she is from another planet, according to an interview.
Like the planet Venus flytrap or something.
Well,
yeah.
I think it is that, you know, and maybe you can attest to this because you work in entertainment in Los Angeles, it's kind of like in Chicago and in New York, you have Catholicism, Judaism, all these other traditional religions sort of standing in the way of the crazier, fringier, more extreme religions like Scientology. And so when you go to California or like Nevada, a lot of people's religious beliefs are mixed with science because that's how we're trying to make sense of the world around us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have a sister who's a Christian, who's like, you know, they're nice Christians. Yeah, I do a lot of, FedEx is coming. It's my date. I do a lot of, religious material, but I always try to, like, qualify it as it's the, you know, religious fringe, the right-wing religious fringe, because yeah, I have a lot of respect for people who have spirituality. I wish I believed in something.
You're like the Madonna of lesbian stand-up, though, you know. You one time even wore a crucifix.
I date younger people? Is that what you're saying?
She likes to have sex with Jesus.
Are you single?
I'm in a relationship.
Okay, can you tell us anything about that? Her?
Performer? Are they a private individual?
Well, she's lovely. We've been together for about 4.5 years. You know, it's a very modern relationship. We don't have, like, you know, it's like we're in it, you know, as long as we're happy and all that. So we're not the usual lesbians, moving in together. We have a bit of an age difference. She's in her 20s, and I know who Johnny Carson was.
Ooh, cougar power.
Yes, I'm a lesbian cougar, yes. You know, but, I mean, I think really age shouldn't matter. You know, it's not, you know, as long as you have money, I think that's the most important thing.
That's what I keep telling Levi Johnston. Age is just a number, you know.
He figured it out.
He's gotten back together with Bristol. I'm so mad at him. I don't even want to talk about it. So we got questions here from the listeners. Kate Webb Ewing, is there anyone that you worked with in the past that you'd like to work with again, that you loved?
Oh, anyone that I worked with in the past? Well, I'd love to work with Rita Moreno again. That would be awesome. We were in the Vagina Monologues, and she made a vagina out of me.
Wasn't Barbara Bush also in that show with you?
Barbara Rush.
Oh.
You know Barbara Rush?
No, I was thinking Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush.
I was like, I can't believe they got Barbara Bush to do this.
That would take some doing. Do you guys put the duct tape on your face and put the no hate thing on
there? We did, yeah.
Yeah, we did that. It's the least I could do. It's the least I could do.
For fashion?
The very least I could do.
Did you do it, Marga?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
Do it.
I'm not putting duct tape on my face. It doesn't make sense to me. The imagery doesn't
make
sense.
Put it on your nipples, then.
The imagery is a little... You're kind of like, well, shouldn't we speak up against this? Shouldn't we talk
about
this?
Well, if you notice my photo, I'm actually peeling the duct tape off.
Okay.
And he actually got me. Like, Adam Buska, Adam, you cannot shut me down, honey. You will not silence me.
I will put the duct tape on my mouth, and then I would slit it so that I could stick my tongue out. Like, bleh.
Do it. If you're a queer celebrity, you have to do it. Otherwise, like, the children on the internet won't believe that you're actually famous.
No, because anybody can do it now. I've seen, you know, I've seen common people. I'm sorry.
Once
Cindy McCain did it, I was like, forget it.
I know. What was up? That was really kind of blew my mind.
They wrote a check. She wrote them again. Shelley Wright and Cindy McCain have the same publicist who wrote them a check and said, you know, you can come right in, dirt girl.
Mm.
Oh, Martian.
I was a Grand Marshal, by the way, in San Francisco and in San Jose, and it is not easy. I have to say that.
Why?
All you have to do is
sit there,
especially for a girl like Paris, because it's really slow, and it gets awkward when you get stuck. Like, let's say a lesbian falls off her bike, and then you're stuck there, you know, like five blocks behind that, and then you're waving to the people, right? Because they first see you, and then you're not moving. Well, you know, when do you stop waving and cheering?
Well, that's
eventually,
when you stop waving, you get off the car, and you start making out with people.
Okay.
Because Michigan's coming, honey, and you know, it's like once you walk in those heavenly gates of lesbian bliss, all rules are, you know what I'm saying? It's off
what
the hook.
What happens in the woods stays in the woods.
That's right. It's the lesbian Las Vegas. Although Las Vegas is pretty lesbian already.
I love that you can't buy the tickets online. You have to, like, mail away from them.
No, you send, like, a chicken. No, it's not. We don't use it. It's not the man's way.
You barter.
Money.
You barter your way in.
Yes.
What's up with the, now somebody else, Martian wants to know, Martian DeLellis, what's right now happening with the exclusion of trans women from the festival and your take on Camp Trans? Do you know anything about it?
Well, no, I'm kind of out of the loop. I mean, it's very, you know, I have friends who, you know, are trans, who are affected by this, and then I have friends, you know, who've been going to the festival for years and, you know, want it to be a certain way, and I can't really figure out, you know, what's right. I mean, I can see both sides of it, so, you know, I don't really have a...
Boy, this is like
a
makes you nervous to talk about it. I'm sensing that it does make you nervous to talk about it.
It's not funny, is it?
No. Well, we talked
to be charming here.
We talked.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think the idea is the people who, you know, are, and I'm not really sure exactly how it works with the excluding because, you know, I mean, I saw some trans F to M's at the festival.
That's female to male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, female to male. So, I mean, I've met them, you know, a couple of years ago, so I don't know exactly, you know, how it's kind of negotiated, you know, but I think Camp Trans sounds, like, way cool, you know?
Well, this is my feeling about it is, from what I've understood, is that it's not like they're going, unzipping your pants and wanting to see your vagina when you walk in. And
it's
so,
kind of like the honor system.
And so if you're like a guy, if you were born with a penis and you still kept your penis, but you pass or you want to present yourself as a woman out to the world, you're more than welcome to go to Michigan. But just don't go around being like, I have a penis and you don't, you know,
is that true?
That's what Farron, the folk singer, told us.
If you have a penis.
Yes.
You can go.
Well, you kind of keep it to yourself.
Just keep your penis to yourself. Don't rub it in our faces.
They don't want to see it in the shower.
Yeah. Well, there are going to be some dirty penises coming out of that festival.
Well, I imagine you could probably discreetly wash your penis.
Penises are, I guess that makes them hotter, huh?
Well, just don't let Susan Powder know about it. She would like
poor Susan.
I want to get Susan Powder on the show. It's like if you can hook me up with her, honey, because I got to lose some weight. You know, it's like
I would like some training. I mean, that's a time when I just kind of feel like I can be doughy, but you know, I've been working on my abs for 25 years.
You have the abs of steel.
Look. No, I've got that. My girlfriend, like I was doing, you know, like she's her body's like, oh God, smoking. And I, you know, I've got the same weight. You know, my mother was a belly dancer, but she always had a belly. It's just, I think it's just my, you know, genetics that I'm always going to have a belly. Like, even if I have that disease where you waste away, my belly will be the last thing. It'll just be like a slithering belly around, you know,
Suck it out.
But my girlfriend said, like, I was doing crunches and then I feel so good about it. She goes, those just make your belly bigger.
No, it's
like,
not.
No.
That's not true. That is the biggest lie in the world. It's usually people with bellies telling you that crunches will make your belly bigger.
She got no belly.
Well, because she's skinny.
Yeah.
But talk to all the exercise therapists, all the personal trainers. They will all tell you, do your sit-ups. Because the thing about it is, if you work with computers like I do, it's like your core, man. It's like you need strength because otherwise you're going to have back problems. And then how funny will you be then? Not very funny, I imagine.
Well, that would be a different Latina lesbian with back problems, I think, could get me another grant.
You could get some material out of that for sure.
You could be like the Stephen Hawking of Latina lesbian stand-up comedians. And you could do your whole routine, get a computer to do everything for you.
Yeah.
You just sit there and have it do all the work.
I mean, that's what Kate Clinton does now.
I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to start rumors that Kate Clinton has had plastic surgery.
Oh, and so she just shot all these videos of herself, like, you know, 15 years ago, and really we don't know what she looks like.
We don't really know what she looks like. She's the cyborg queen or something.
Uh-huh.
But she's who's going to be with you at Michigan? Now, we got to wrap this up here, but you got a lot of interesting acts that I've never heard of before.
I was just concerned with myself. Betty's going to be there. Betty.
That's one person named Betty.
Betty. Yeah. Oh no, Betty's this really great trio. They've been together for like, I don't know, 25 years. Two of them are sisters, and then the third one, Allison, who's like super super hot. Oh, they're all hot. I forget if I single one of them out, the other two beat me. But
they do, especially the skinny one. You know what I'm talking about? The skinny one is the
fucker,
of Betty. She's the one who's like really mean, and you could see her like yelling at them like off stage. She's like, "Stand over here! You were late. You were pitchy on the thing." And she like, and then she pinches her chubby sister.
Well, really? You know, they're New Yorkers, so it's kind of the way they love. But I know that like I don't sit real close now when I see Betty because they look. And if they see you look at one of the other ones,
they get
then
mad.
Afterwards, they go, "Why weren't you looking at me?"
That's exactly what happened with me too. Because every gay man wants to be photographed with a black Amazon.
Yeah.
And then the other two sisters are like, "What about us?" And we're like, "Oh right, I'll have my photo taken with you too."
Oh, and then you know who else is going to be there? Sia.
Sia.
Yeah, you know her, right?
S-I-A. No, I know Toshi Raygun. She is fierce.
Toshi, yeah, I don't know if that's how you say her name, but
it's Tosh. Tosh.0 Raygun.
Toshi.
But look at these names. Well, Stacey Ann Chin is fierce and fabulous. Farron is great. Coco Mama, I don't know anything about her.
But you know who Sia is?
No, you're like stuck on her.
You should. Well, she's like the new thing. But like, check out her songs online. She's
She likes to put glue things on her face.
She's wacky.
How do you smell that?
She's like a burner. Yeah.
We played her music before on the show. She's really nutty. She like on her album cover. She likes to put magic markers on her face, like she has mental problems.
What's her name?
SIA.
Yeah. She's like crazy in the Bjork way, you know.
Don't try to take her picture. She will cut you.
Oh, that's my favorite video in the whole world. I didn't know about it until like 6 months ago, and then I'm like putting it on my Facebook, and it's like we saw this 2 years ago. God,
she was hungry. This is my theory: is that Bjork is always perpetually in a state of hunger. She apologized to the photographer afterwards.
Oh, I know how that is. She must be hypoglycemic. I'm like that myself. That's why in Michigan, sometimes, like, don't fuck with me because, you know, I need meat and I don't get it, you know? So I'm always a little bit hungry there, too.
Can you smuggle in some beef jerky or anything?
Who wants to eat that? You want
some
a nice
people
steak.
Like that. Or like a canned ham.
She's Puerto Rican.
If I see any of them, I'm going to cut it out and just chop it up and put it in a bonfire.
I want you to bring, I want you to bring a deep fryer and some plantains and hook it up there to a generator and make fried green plantains, tostones for the chicks out there. And they'll like it because it's a phallic symbol that they're crushing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Or just maybe use it, you know, whole. But listen, they have a Latina group. Like, you know, everybody kind of has like their own. things that are going on, but there's like a woman of color tent, and there's a...
It's like prison.
And then there's Latina Day, and they cook all Latin food, Puerto Rican food. What I missed?
Mark said it's like prison.
You got the skinheads, the neo-Nazi lesbians.
Ooh, that would be kind of a good campsite. Yeah. Well, they've got the SM campsite.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Hold on a second. There's an SM sadomasochistic camp for lesbians at Michigan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's called the Twilight Zone. Oh my God! Did I not mention that?
No.
Well, listen. Let me ask you this, because I was reading on the Wikipedia about this, is that they used to not allow bondage and S&M there, and then one year a woman hired a plane and she flew over the campground and dropped leaflets explaining exactly what S&M and bondage is all about, and then the next year they allowed it. Is this a true story?
Yeah, but not because of the leaflets, because that was, you know, those were unrecycled. But but it was funny because it was like a little SM plane, and like, so when you get on that plane, like if you fasten your seatbelt, then you're restrained and you're ball gag and you fly. I was there that year, and it was pretty hilarious. Like these little flyers came out. I think it was, the SM women also kind of climbed the fence, and they like dug holes, and it's just like, God, they just couldn't keep them out. Like there was some sort of like, you know, immigration thing going on, and they were just getting through. There were lesbian coyotes getting them there.
No minute ladies, they're shooting them as they
cross the
border.
It sounds like it was like zombies crawling through the fence with their whips and chains or something.
But now they're all over the place. I mean, they're the best cooks on the land, you know?
Why?
I don't know. But they've got oh yeah, they serve the food, like it's just the aprons and then like nipple clamps. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
They're disciplined, you know? Like they peel those potatoes, like they like to whip them, you know? This is like one of the times I was single on the land. I was so horny. I was like, I really wanted to get, you know, some crazy sex, and I'd never really walked very far in the land, you know, like I didn't really understand where I think half the time I'd stay in a hotel and then they'd bus me in for the show, but this time I was on the land, it's like, okay, I got this map, I'm going to go find where the SM people are, I'm going to get some crazy sex, and I got lost, and I wound up in the family camping, and I'm going, and I saw all these big wheels, I was like, what are they doing, what is wrong with these women? It's all these children, like, you know, little babies and little clotheslines with diapers. It's like, what are they doing, these SM women? And then finally I found it, and I found the SM camp. Like, it's really at the nighttime you have to go, and daytime it's not so sexy. But there was one woman, it was like 2 p.m, under a tree. She was tied up, and she was just being whipped, but, like, so lethargically by her whipper. It was just like, whip, whip, whip. And they whip, you guys probably know this, why am I telling you? But they just whip, like, the same spot, like, not real hard, you know? Not like in a, you know, in a biblical movie. Like, that's the kind of whipping I want to see.
So,
but it's just, they just whip, 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 until that little spot just gets so painful.
Mm.
And then they go, ow!
Like, it sounds very passionless.
Kill me now. Stab me. Kill me now.
I've actually gotten whipped at IML, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. You know, but that's kind of like, you don't want sex to, after having sex or something, be like, well, it wasn't as awful as I thought it was going to be. You know, it's like, you want to be like, wow, that was really wonderful and expanded my mind and it was joyful. Not like, well, I was bracing for horror and pain and agony and then it was just...
Oh, they whip and they giggle? Yeah, I hate... Oh, yeah.
Well, Marga, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I...
Oh, next time we'll talk about spanking, okay?
Okay. I'm up for it. Anytime.
All right. You guys are great. Anything, you know, anything I can ever do for you, you just let me know, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Show up in a mink coat and a cocktail.
Okay, I will kill. I'll kill them. I will get a mink coat.
Freshly killed minks.
How do I keep
bleed?
Them from? All right, but there might be paint splattered on it for myself.
Weren't you a spokesmodel for PETA for a while?
No, not yet. I have to stop eating burgers. And by burgers, I mean my girlfriend.
You nickname your girlfriend Burgers?
Because I can't.
Love Burger.
Bye, Marga. Love you.
Bye.
Marga Gomez lives in San Francisco, California. You can learn more about her on our website, feastoffun.com, or on her website, margagomez.com, which in English is margagomez.com.
Wow. .com. I think next year we should go. We'll dress up as ladies and we'll spend all our time there in the woods. It'll be like bosom buddies in the woods.
I didn't realize that these women's clothes were so flattering to my figure. Thank goddess it's a ladies-only event.
Could you pull it off for 2 weeks?
I could totally do it.
Could you?
I could totally. In fact, who says I haven't been to it already? Susan Powder, shout out to you. We're going to leave you with some music by Farron, Girl on a Road. It's one of Farron's greatest hits, and it's one of our personal favorite songs. You can get it on our website, feastoffun.com. We salute you, the listeners. The lovely, lovely listeners. You know, they begin with a letter L.
And I want to remind people, too, to follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/feastoffun. Or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/feastoffun.
Remember, folks, Margaret Mead liked to say, every time we liberate a woman, we also liberate a man.
Aww.
Thanks for listening. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
With my splattered tears, a string of nights and truck stops, and darkness and headlights, and a man they all call Tiger Boy. He just had to show me why. He just had to give me something I'd forever understand. There's a girl on her roof. Sing with me. Makes footprints sunk in sand, anger upon angry hurt. Take me by the hand, take me by the heartstrings. Pull me deep inside, say I'm one with your forgiveness, and separate from my pride. Like for you, but here's what it's like for me. I want it to turn beautiful and serve eternity and never follow money or love with greasy hands or move the earth and waters just to make it fit my plans. My eyes would be the harbor, my words the perfect place for a girl. I met you in the summer, I left you in the fall. In between we did some living, I like to think that's all. Now I see words can be like weapons, no matter that they're small. I used three tiny words on you and then beat it down the hall. Does this road go on forever? Does this terror know no end for a girl on hell road? Sing it. Rain upon the water makes footprints sunk in sand. Anger upon angry hurt. Take me by the hand, take me by the heartstrings. Pull me deep inside. Say I'm one with your forgiveness and separate from my pride. as they part, I did my best to follow the calling of my soul. It's like that first guitar played, at the center is a hole, at the center is a longing that I cannot understand. There's a girl on every road. If music could be a boulder, let me carry it a long while. Let it turn into a feather, let it brush against my smile. Let the life be somewhat settled with the life the song has made. Let there be nothing I'm longing for in some plan I may have made, in some story quickly written during a long forgotten time. As a girl